And we're holding on Vav Amud Aleph, the second line. We're discussing the matter of, we've been discussing the last couple of blat, the matter of Yodos, where a person makes a partial declaration of Nezirus, or not Nezirus, of Nedarim. For example, the full declaration of a Neder would be a person says, this object should be also to me like a korban. So he's using the word also and he's using the word korban. Or okay, at the beginning of the Masechta, the Ran says, maybe it's not strictly necessary for him to mention the korban, maybe it's enough that he just says that this thing is also, and that itself would be considered a full declaration of a neder. In any case, though, you have cases where a person says less than that. For example, a person say for example, we have later on in the Mishnah where a person says to somebody else, "Mudrani mimcha, I am under a neder from you." So there's no word also, there's no word korban, and still that's considered a yad, and it takes effect as a neder. So we've been discussing the matter of Yadayim Mechichos versus She'enem Mechichos. You have a Yad, which is Mechiach, which is very clear that it's very clear. We can easily fill in the missing word. Right? For example, when a person says Mudrani Mimcha, it's easy enough for us to fill in and say that it means that he's asking himself in something, although we discussed yesterday, actually, it still might mean maybe he's only saying that I'm going to be also to talk to you. So that's so actually that kind of thing would be considered Yadayim She'enem Mechichos in the sense it's not certain that he means to aser hana from the other guy. He may be meaning to aser something else. Yadayim Mechichos would be where it's fairly clear that you could conceivably fill it in a different way, but most likely you would fill it in the way that amounts to a neder. So now, and we said that concept of Yadayim Mechichos and She'enem Mechichos applies, for example, not only when it comes to Nedarim. We talked about it, for example, in connection with Git. We said that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim disagree when it comes to a Get. Do you just have to write Hareyat Mechadas L'chol Adam, or is that considered Yadayim She'enem Mechichos in the sense that that doesn't tell us for certain that he's the one who's giving her the Get? Maybe it sounds from those words alone, it could be that somebody else is doing it. It's not necessarily that the get is the vehicle for the divorce. Maybe he's thinking that he can do it verbally. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is requiring him to write another line, "V'dein diyevi l'chiminai," this get is coming from me to you, which this makes it clear that we mean the get and nothing else. And the minai makes it clear from me and not from somebody else. So Rabbi Yehuda had held, you had to write that line, and the Chachamim hold that not. Then we mentioned a machlokas Abaya and Rava, which seems to be the same point, but we said it's not necessarily. We said both Abaya and Rava, either one of them could go like the Chachamim or like Rabbi Yehuda, because in each way we'd have a reason to say why maybe Gittin are different than other areas of halacha. On the one hand, a get has to be chrisos, it has to completely cut off the relationship between them. So you could argue it has to be more unequivocal, it has to be more clear that the loshen without room for any misinterpretations. On the other hand, the fact is, Rava would say, listen, who else is going to be divorcing her other than her husband? So that's where we're up to. Second line of Vav Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, Mason, I have a contradiction on Abaya. A braisa says, harehu alai, if a person says about a certain object that it is on me. Now, if a person were to say, now to say this thing is on me, usually that would mean, as we're going to say in a few lines, that usually that would amount to saying that it's a korban. So if a person says, harehu alai, he says, this is on me, without saying the word osir and without saying the word korban or anything, or hare ze alai, or this thing is on me. So then we say osir, then we say it's osir mipneshu yad l'korban, because that amounts to a yad for a korban. Now, the implication, in other words, because again, a person might well declare a korban by saying the typical way of declaring a korban might be harehu alai korban or something to that effect. And since again, because of yadus, then therefore we can fill in the word korban even if he just says harehu alai. But time of Amar Alai Hudasir, only because he says Alai, now that makes it a Yad Mechiach, only then would he be Asir. Av Aloy Amar Alai Loy, but if he doesn't say the word Alai, then not. Now, if he doesn't say Alai, that's Yadayim She'enem Mechichas. And Abaya says that even Yadayim She'enem Mechichas are Yadayim. So according to him, why do you have to say the word Alai? So, and the Braisa seems to be implying that if he would only say Harehu, then that's not enough. Why? Because it's a Yad She'enem Mechiach. Because Harehu could mean any of a lot of different things. So then, to the Abaya. So that would be a contradiction on Abaya. Because Abaya says, again, that you shouldn't need, on the face of it, according to Abaya, you shouldn't need the word Olai. The answer is, Amalach Abaya, the reason is, because time of the Omer, Olai hu de Osir, the reason is like this. Because when he says Olai, the reason why you need Olai in this case to be Osir, because Aval Omer Harei hu, like Omer Olai, because without the word Olai, fine, you don't need your dying mechichas. But the problem is, if you don't say the word korban and you're not saying the word olai either, there's not necessarily would we fill it in, not necessarily would we fill in this yad to say that he's talking about a korban at all. He could mean, for example, harehu de hefker, harehu de tzedakah kamar. Conceivably, harehu could mean that I'm going to declare it as hefker, that I'm going to declare it as tzedakah. So Abaya says, fine, I say that your daim she'en mechichas are your daim, but at least it has to be she'en mechichas. It has to be that there's the most reasonable explanation would be there are other equally reasonable explanations, but most likely you would fill this in. Especially Mefoshim point out, I think the Shita Mekubetzes points out that to say when he said harehu alai. And leaving out the word korban, you only have to fill in one word. If you want to say that, if you want to say he says harehu, and you're saying that you have to fill in two words, olai korban, so maybe that's less likely. Maybe that's not enough to be considered. Even yodayim mechichas, that would be a really weak kind of yodayim she'en mechichas. So even Abaya is going to say that's not considered yodayim. It's not even yodayim mechichas. So the question is, what do you mean? The Braisa clearly says that the reason why, if he said Hareze Olai, would be also is because it's a yad for a korban. So in other words, so you can't fill it in to say that we didn't say it's a yad for a neder. We said it's a yad for a korban. Now, so there's a few different ways that the Rishonim have to explain what the question is on Abaya. The Ran explains that... The Ran explains, when people want to declare something as a korban, it's normal enough for a person to say harehu korban without saying the word olai, and therefore harehu. So we're saying harehu olai is enough to be considered a yad, but then we're saying that's considered a yad for a korban. But you actually with a korban, you don't even need the word olai. And still, we're saying that only to be a yad l'korban, it needs to have the word olai in it. So that means just harehu would not be enough to be considered a yad. Now, why not? Shouldn't that be yadayim mechichas? Because the word harehu is usually used to introduce the word korban. So that's how the Ran explains it. And then you have a couple of other different ways that the Mefoshim have to explain it. So the Rosh, for example, says that what it means is so again, when a person is saying so we don't mean a korban in the sense of bringing something as a korban the way the Ran is saying it. We're talking about being matpis for korban, the concept that we touched on at the beginning of the Masechta, and we're going to talk about in great detail later on in the parak of matpis or matfis, whatever, where a person says this thing should be like that thing. So later on in the parak, we're going to discuss the classic way of one of the classic ways of making a neder is, for example, to say this meat should be to me like a korban. Now, he didn't use the word osur, but since a korban is something that's osur for a regular person to eat, and it says we're going to learn later in the parak, it's something that you can aser through a neder. It's something that you can create declare something as a korban, and that's called dover hanodur. So when you can be to be matfis, you have to be matfis for dover hanodur. If you were to say, for example, we're going to learn in the next parak about this, that if, for example, if you were to say this meat is to me like chazer flesh, that wouldn't work. Chazer flesh is not a dover hanodur. You can't declare it also by a neder. It's also already. But if you say this meat is also to me like a korban, that's matfis. So now. Matfis literally means to grab, right? Because you're causing the kedusha of the one thing to be grabbed onto something else, right? So now the Rosh explains when we say over here yad the korban, we don't mean necessarily for a korban per se. We mean korban in the sense of something that you're using to be matfis, something that you're using to create a neder. But the point is, we see that we see that we're not assuming that could conceivably be hefker tzedakah. We're saying that he means that that he's creating a neder with it. And again, even without the word alai, that it should seem to be enough. How can whereas according to Abaya, without the word alai, it's not good enough. We're saying the Braisa is specifically mentioning the word alai, implying without that it's not enough. Now, why according to Abaya, it should be yadayim she'en mechichas, just the words harehu. Forget about tzedakah or hefker, because the Braisa is clearly telling us that it has to do with a korban, and therefore, so it should be considered yadayim she'en mechichas. So no, rather let's explain differently. Ela ema, rather we're going to answer that what the Braisa means according to Abaya. Taima de Omer alai, because the difference is only when he says alai, who also v'chaveri mutter. The result of that will be that it will be a neder that applies only to the person himself who made the neder. Avol Omer harehu, but if he just says the word harehu, so before we thought that the braisa means if he says harehu, it's not a yad at all, and it was a question on a bayah. Now we're going to say, actually, yeah, harehu does count as a yad, and it's a stronger kind of thing. Shnehen asurin, actually both of them, meaning not just both of them, really means everybody, is going to be also in this thing. Dilma harehu hektish kamar, because there's a reasonable possibility that he may have meant to declare it hektish. Now he could mean to declare it neder, and then it would be also only to him. If I say, after all, if I say this meat is also to me, it's also only to me, it's mutter to all of you. But if I say this meat is hektish, then it becomes also to everybody. So therefore, so that's the difference. When he says harehu alai, the fact that he says the word alai makes it clear that he's limiting it to himself. But when he says harehu, you could just as well say that he's making it hektish for everyone. And therefore, so now everybody's going to be also to eat this meat. So the Braisa is not a contradiction to Abaya, because again, Abaya is saying, so you do in fact have the words harehu or yodayim she'en mechichas. You don't know for sure whether he means a neder, which is only for himself, or whether he means hektish, which is for everybody. And we take the stricter view and say that it means that it's going to be hektish. We're actually going to learn later on in the Masechta, we're going to learn the concept called stam nedarim lahokar. We're going to say when we have a statement that could be understood as a neder or could be understood as something else, we take a stricter view. Within that itself, sometimes we say, Pirushan, we're going to get to later, when it comes to interpreting what the neder is covering, what things the neder is covering, sometimes lahokol, sometimes lahachmer, as we'll get into examples later in the Masechta. But when we have something that may or may not be a neder, we generally go lachomer with it. The same way over here, when he says harehu, which could mean a neder, or it could mean hektish, one way or the other, it's also to him. Hektish is going to make it also to everybody else as well. Then we're going to take the stricter view and say that he made it hektish. Which, by the way, keep in mind, is another kind of neder. We talked at the beginning of the Masechta that really you have two different kinds of nedarim. You have nidre isur and nidre hektish. We're not really focusing on nidre hektish in our Masechta. Those are mostly dealt with in Seder Kodshim. But nevertheless, here we have an example where he says something that could be understood as a declaration of hektish.
That's why we're here, he's machmir.
So that's why over here, we're machmir, but the point is, in other words, the question we had on Abaya was why you need the word alai for it to be considered a yad. Why wouldn't it be considered a yad without alai? And the answer is considered a yad without alai. So that's how Abaya will understand the braisa, that without alai, it becomes a stronger thing, it becomes hektish, and with alai, it becomes a weaker thing, it becomes just a neder, which is also just to him. Meanwhile, of course, Rava doesn't need to understand the braisa that way. Rava can understand it straight out, but only if he says a lie is it a yad. If he doesn't say a lie, then it's your daim she'en mechichas. It's something equivocal. It could mean one thing, it could be the other. And Rava had said that your daim she'en mechichas is not your daim, and therefore without a lie, you don't have a neder. Okay.
Where does Abaye take it that without a lie, it is necessarily hektish? Where does he take that?
Well, that's what we're saying. That's that we're using that to answer how this braisa will not contradict Abaye. Given that the Braisa says you need to have the word alai, how would Abaya understand it? And the answer is we, on behalf of Abaya, can understand it that way.
Understand, but where is the basis to give that?
The basis is because the word harehu can just as well be used to declare something hektish.
It can be used to declare something hektish, but it can be used for other reasons also.
Fine, but that's there we go with stam nedarim lahachmir. The fact is, we said that he's saying something. He's saying the word harehu. He obviously means to declare it as something, and we should take the maximum view then and say that it means hektish. Okay, the Gemara says mace. I have another contradiction, another potential contradiction on Abaye. A braisa says, if a person says about a certain animal, harei zu chatas, harei zu osham, this animal is a chatas, or this animal is an osham, afal pishu chayev chatas va osham, then even if previously he was already chayev, a chatas or an osham, loy omar klum, then what he said doesn't count for anything. And the reason is because a chatas or an osham cannot be brought as a neder or an adab. A chatas or an osham have to be something that a person is required to bring. By the way, the Rosh points out in his Perush over here, there is one kind of osham that a person could bring voluntarily, namely an osham tolui. A Mishnah in Krisus tells us that they call it asham chassidim, that the chassidim, that people who are extra careful with mitzvahs, could, an osham tolui we know classically is when a person did something where he's not sure whether he did something that's chayav chappas. Classic example is that a person had two pieces of fat in front of him. One of them was chaylev, which is osir, and would be chayev kores and a chatas. The other one is shuman, which is not, and he eats one of them, and the other one gets lost, and he's not sure now which one he ate. So he brings an osham toler. So it mentions over there in the Mishnah in Krisus that the chassidim arishonim used to bring an osham toler, if not every day, then at least all the time. It mentions, for example, Bava ben Buta used to bring one every day, just in case the day before they had done something that would make them chayev, chatas.
I mean, just in general there.
In general, in case the previous day they had done any one of the 30 or 40 odd things that would make them chayev chatas. And they're allowed to. You have one thing the Mishnah mentions over there, I think, about Bava ben Buta. It says he wanted to bring one the day after Yom Kippur, and they tell him, you know what, listen, give yourself a chance. They at least have a suffix whether you did an Aveda, because after all, Yom Kippur cleans up your Avedas, you know. So anyway, the point is that so that kind of osham, then the Rosh points out, based on the Gemara over there, can be brought b'nedo and adava. So if a person were to say that this animal should be an osham toloi, fine, that he can do. But we're talking about a regular chatas or a regular osham. Those can't come b'nedo and adava. A person did one of those 30 odd things that makes him chayev an osham, that makes him chayev a chatas, or he did one of the half dozen things that makes him chayev an osham, then he brings an osham, but otherwise not. So if he says that, so even though he was chayev chatas or an osham, if he says on a certain animal, this is a chatas, so this is an osham, then loy omaklum, what he said doesn't count for anything, because he can't just declare one out of the blue. But if he says harezu chatos si harezu asham mi, but if he says this is for my chatas or for my asham as well, if in fact it was chayev a chatas or an asham dvarav kayamin, then what he said is valid. So now we have a contradiction on Abaya. Because even, what are we saying? In the first part of the Braisa, we're saying, even though he's chayev a chatas or an asham, and he's saying, harezu chatas, harezu asham, that is your dayim she'en mechichas. It could mean that he means for the chatas or asham that he is already obligated to bring, but he could mean that out of the blue, he wants to declare a new chatas or asham that he's not chayev in, and we say that doesn't work, and we say it doesn't work. According to Abaya, why shouldn't it work? It's your daim she'en mechichas. Fine, it's not 100% for sure that it means the chatos or the osham that he's chayev, but most likely it means that. That's your daim she'en mechichas. And according to Abaya, that should be your daim. And we're saying that not. The answer, it's a two of the Abaya. So we have a contradiction on Abaya. The answer is Amalach Abaya, Homani Rabbi Yehuda. So the answer is Rabbi will tell you, fine, you know what, that Braisa goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. Where we said before, Rabbi Yehuda requires your daim mechichas, which is why in a get, we said he requires that line b'dein liyev yilachiminai. The question is, what do you mean? Before in the Gemara, when we first presented the machloikas Abaya and Rava, we said on the face of it, they seem to be repeating the same machloikas as Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And we said that no, Abaya would say what I'm saying could work even according to the Rabbanon, or even according to Rabbi Yehuda, rather. Abaya had said, what I'm saying could work even according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda would say a get is special because it requires krisus. There has to be an absolute cutting off between the husband and wife, and therefore there can't be any room for any mistakes or anything equivocal, but in other areas of halacha not. Now all of a sudden you're telling me that Abaya, that Rabbi Yehuda would actually hold, in this area as well, which has nothing to do with Gittin. We're talking about Kodshim, and he would say that you need your daim mechichas. So the answer is Hodrbe. The answer is, okay, Abaya changed his mind. At first he wanted to say that his shitta would work according to everybody. Now he has no choice but to say that his shitta works only according to the Chachamim and not according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so the question is, Ella lemer Rava de Amar Kerabi Yehuda. Well, in that case, does that require us to say that Rava also is only according to Rabbi Yehuda? Should we assume that since now we're establishing that Abaya's opinion can work only according to the Chachamim, would that mean that Rava's opinion now can only work according to Rabbi Yehuda? The problem with that is that Rabbi Yehuda is a das yachid. The halacha may not be like him. Why would Rava want his shita to be only according to a das yachid? Shouldn't he better give an opinion that would fit according to the chachamim as well? And the answer is amalach Rava anor da amya filo rabbanan. And the answer is Rava does not have to change his mind. Rava can say that my opinion will work even according to the chachamim. Because we can say ad kan lekamir for the same reason that we talked about at the bottom of the previous amud and the top of this one. And in fact, you have this is one of those examples where they say loshen nedarim mishuna. Usually, in most other places in Shas, we wouldn't repeat the same words that Rava is saying. We would just refer to what we said earlier. Now here we're actually going to repeat on the next three lines. We're going to repeat the same svara of Rava because this is one of those things loshen nedarim mishuna. And nedarim apparently did not go through the same amount of editing process as the other masechtas, and therefore there are various oddities in it, including this. So he says, you know why the Chachamim say that you don't need Yadayim Mechichas? Ela gabe get. They would hold only by a get. Do you not need it? Because after all, nobody is going to divorce somebody else's wife. So therefore, necessarily, even without the words v'dein diyevi l'chiminai, it's very clear that the get is coming from him to her and not from somebody else to her. You can have a shliach, but the shliach is acting on behalf of the husband. Even when you send a get with a shliach, you're still going to have the line in it, v'dein diyevi l'chiminai, and ultimately it's the husband who gave the instructions for the get to be written and for the get to be delivered. So, aval ba'alma, but usually the chacham would say, but in your daim mechichas, usually the chacham would require your daim mechichas, and only in the special case of get that not, would we say that not. So in short, in other words, what we can say is, Abaya's opinion would not work according to Rabbi Yehuda's. It would only work according to the Chachamim's. Rava's could work according to either Rabbi Yehuda's or the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda would require Yadayim Mechichas specifically by a get. Or the Rabbanan, rather, would require Yadayim Mechichas specifically by a get, but they would say in other areas of Halacha, we don't require them. Let me say that again. The Chachamim would say by a get, we don't need Yadayim Mechichas, but everywhere else in Halacha we do. And Rabbi Yehuda would say both in a get and in other areas of Halacha, we need Yadayim Mechichas. So now when Rava is saying you need Yadayim Mechichas, he would be going, if you go according to the Chachamim, it would mean everything except for a get. If you go according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be everything including a get. So Rava's opinion could work according to either one of them, and we don't have to say that Rava is speaking specifically according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now that we discussed this, now that we went through this whole matter of Yadayim, so now let's talk about Yadayim as they apply to other areas of Halacha. So far we've discussed, you want to say anyone ask something?
Later.
Okay. So far we've discussed Yadayim in terms of Nedarim and Nezirus, which is after all a type of Neder, and also in connection with Gittin. So now we're going to bring up the rest of this Amud, and then the following Amud on Zion and Aleph, we're going to talk about Yad, we're talking about Yadis as they apply to other areas of Halacha. So the Gemara says, Boy, Papa, yesh Yad l'kiddushin oiloi. Is it possible to use a Yad when it comes to Kiddushin? Now, in other words, again, by Kiddushin, the full Lashon of Kiddushin would be Hare at Mekudeshes Li. So what if he leaves out some of that? So now, how would we think that it would apply to Kiddushin? So first of all, the Ran says we're talking even when it's a Yad Mechiyach. So let's leave aside Abaya and Rava for the moment and say we are talking about a Yad Mechiyach. It's clear the most reasonable way to fill in what he's saying would be that he's saying that he's Mekadesh this woman. As we're going to give an example in the Gemara in a second of what the Yad is that we're talking about. The question would be then, on the one hand, we could say that once we say it applies by Nedarim, then we can use a Mamotzinu to say just like by Nedarim it works, so also by Kiddushin, or maybe not. Maybe Nedarim are more stringent because after all, Nedarim, all you need is to say something. Kiddushin, you actually have to do something as well. You have to give Kesef or Shtar or Bia. So would we say that? So would we say that the concept of Yodis applies to Kiddushin as well? And Tosfos points out that in a way, Kiddushin can be said to have a certain relationship with Nedarim. Fine, maybe a regular Mamotzinu you wouldn't say, because you could easily slug it up. You can find, as we just said, there are things about Nedarim that are more stringent than Kiddushin. On the other hand, you think about it, Nedarim and Kiddushin do have, both of them have this in mind, you're changing the status of something. Nedarim, before this thing was mutter to you, now it becomes also to you like a korban. Kiddushin, when you're Makadish a woman, you're making her also to everybody else in the world. So therefore, you can argue that maybe the concept of Yodis should apply by Kiddushin as well. So the Gemara asks, Hey, Hidam. Okay, what's the scenario where you're asking about Yodis? Ilema de Omala la Isha Hareat Makudeshis Li. Are we talking about where he says to one woman the full statement, Hareat Makudeshis Li, the Omala Chavut of Atnami? And then he says to her friend, you too, and you're going to ask whether the you too constitutes a yad. And the Ran explains the case is that we're talking about that he gave two prutas to the first woman. So he gave Rachel two prutas, and he says, Hareat Mekudeshesli, and then he turns to Leah and says, you also. The implication being that Rachel is receiving the second pruta as a shliach on behalf of Leah. Well, you want to ask Pshita. Of course that would work. Hainu Kiddushin Atzman. That itself is Kiddushin. As long as Rachel is accepting it as a shliach of Leah, that works. And by the way, the Ran brings from a Gemara in Kiddushin, not only can one woman make a shliach for another, they can make another woman a shliach to accept her Kiddushin, even when we're saying both of them are going to be marrying the same man, meaning that now they're going to be tzaddis, they're going to be rivals to each other, and we talk about all over Yevamos how difficult that can be for women. Nevertheless, that it works the halacha, as long as she was willing to accept the kiddushin, as long as she was willing to be niskadish like that.
We don't know if she's accepting it both for herself or one for her.
No, so there's, you would ask the question, maybe the Va'at Nami, the you two, doesn't constitute a kiddushin, but the question is, of course it constitutes a kiddushin. What else would it? And by the way, the Ran adds also, now you can't say that it means that he gives one pruta to each one of them, because then for sure, the Gemara wouldn't even have brought up the question in the first place. We're going to bring up the question in a second, that maybe when he says Va'at Nami, maybe he means, I want you to watch how I'm doing the Kiddushin, but if he gave her a pruta, there's no way you can say that.
So you have to be careful with that, because you might Mekadesh two women at the same time.
So yeah, you do have to be careful when you're giving women prutas, yeah. There have been cases, by the way, where, for example, there was a case many years ago where there were a bunch of teenagers were playing together during recess or something, and a bunch of them they started doing mock kiddushin. The boys were taking out like toy rings or onion rings or whatever and giving them to girls and saying Hareat Mekudeshesli, and it became a huge shaila whether that's considered a valid kiddushin or not. Moshe has a long tshuva on the subject, working out the pros and cons of it. Can such things be considered valid kiddushin? Or are the items worth a pruta? Did they really mean kiddushin, etc., etc.?
Long story short, did they have to give him?
Long story short, I think there may have been cases where, I don't know, actually, I think there may have been cases where at least some of them had to give gittin, but I'm not sure about that. Yeah. Anyway. So yeah. So here we're talking about, again, the Ran teaches out that we're talking about that he gave two prutas to one woman, to Rachel. He tells her, Hareat Mekudeshesli, and then he turns to Leah and said, Va'at Nami, and you too. Well, the Gemara says, Pshita, Hainu Kiddushin Atzman. Of course, once he says Va'at Nami, that itself constitutes Kiddushin. So forget about it. Yeah, that's full-fledged Kiddushin. What's the question? Ela no, going to Omol the Isha Hareat Mekudeshesli. Rather, the case is he says to Rachel, "You are Mekudesh to me." But still, after having given two prutas, the Omol the Chavuta Va'at, and he only says to the other one, to Leah, he says, "And you." So now, what does the "and you" mean? Mi Aminan Va'at Nami Omola. Do we fill in the word Nami and say it means you too, and therefore now it means both of them are Mekudesh, like in the first case? So mi aminin va'at nami omel v'chavata. Do we assume that he meant you too, that he's saying to Leah, but tafsi v'kedushin v'chavata, and therefore kedushin are tofus with Leah as well? Oy doma va'at chazoi omela. Maybe not. Maybe he's just telling her, I want you to watch while I'm being makadish your friend Rachel. Not as an aide, of course. A woman can't be an aide, but he's just saying that I want you to see what I'm doing.
You wouldn't use the Russian.
He could. Va'at, and you. It could mean va'at chazoi. It could mean, and I want you to watch what I want you to watch what I'm doing. So therefore, maybe he's not meaning to be Mekadosh at all. Maybe he's meaning to be Mekadosh Rochel with two protas and Loya, not at all. So he's just saying, Va'at Chazoi, Omalom Chavata. He's just telling the friend, I want you to watch. V'loy tafsiba Kiddushin, V'chavata. And Kiddushin don't apply. Kiddushin are not chal on the friend, on Leia. Tosfos discusses over here that here we get into the question that we discussed before. When we talk about Yodos, we do have to talk about the question of how we said before, fine, according to Rava, you need Yodayim Mechichas. How Mechichas do they need to be? In other words, how reasonable is the possibility of understanding that Ba'at could conceivably mean Ba'at Chazoi, that we would say there's the possibility that maybe it wouldn't count as Kedushin. But again, really what we have to do, really Rav Papa is asking in the first place, leaving aside Yodayim Mechichas or not, the question is a Yad even effective by Kedushin, or is it maybe only Xeris HaKosov, that by Nidorim, Yodayim is enough, but maybe by other areas of halacha, such as Kedushin, maybe you need an absolute full declaration. You can't get away with saying only half.
Same way by a get.
Well, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need by a get, right. So the Gemara asked Mimi Boyle Little Papa, is it so that a Papa even has a question about such a thing? Bahamid Omale Papa Abaya, but we have in a different Gemara that Rav Papa says to Abaya, you have a case at the beginning of Kiddushin. Suppose that the man gives the woman kesef or shava kesef, and instead of saying hareat mekudeshes li, he only says hareat mekudeshes. He doesn't use the word li. So now the question becomes, again, does that mean that he's meaning to be mekadesher for himself, or does it mean maybe that he can be that he's mekadesher as a shliach on behalf of somebody else? A person can the same way as we said before that gittin can be accomplished through a shliach. You can send the get through a shliach. Kiddushin can also be accomplished through a shliach. So in that discussion, in that sugya there, when Shmuel says that din, so Shmuel says that in fact it was so it would work. And with the omelet of Papa Abaya, and given that a Papa says to Abaya, "Mi sova Shmuel Yodayim she'en mechichas having Yodayim," is it true that Shmuel holds that Yodayim she'en mechichas having Yodayim? Because after all, here it's Yodayim she'en mechichas. Because we don't know. Does Hareat Mekudeshes mean to be you Mekudesh to me, or does it mean you Mekudesh to somebody else? Those are two reasonable ways of filling in the word after Mekudeshes.
Especially, she has to agree to it.
That's also true. Right. But let's say, for example, that she's saying, I'm willing to be Mekodesh to whoever comes first. So fine, you know, so whoever is Mekodesh first, but the question is, was it he who's being Mekodesh, or is it somebody else? So the fact that a papa is asking the question and saying, does it mean that Shmuel holds that even Yadayim She'en Mechichas is good enough? The implication seems to be that a papa agrees that your papa knows that Yadayim work by Kedushin. And the only question is, why is Shmuel telling us a case about Yadayim She'en Mechichas? Does such a thing b'chlal work? So how is Rav Papa asking over here in our Gemara if there is a Yad for Kedushin at all, when we see from that Gemara in Kedushin that clearly he holds there is a Yad, and the only question is, does it need to be Yadayim Mechichas, or is Yadayim She'en Mechichas good enough as well? The answer is, so that's the question. Since Rav Papa asks Abaya, is it true that Shmuel holds that Yadayim She'en Mechichas are considered Yadayim? Miklal the Svir Leilat Papa the Yashiyad the Kedushin. That the implication is that Rav Papa is that Rav Papa knows that there is a Yad for Kedushin and holds that way. And he's just asking, how could it be that Shmuel holds that even Yad She'en Mechichas would work? The answer is Chodam Igoy Ma'id Svir Leilat Shmuel. The answer is Omer Leilat Abaya. The answer is that what Rav Papa is telling Abaya is one thing within what Shmuel is saying. In other words, he's asking, Shmuel holds that a Yad works, and he seems to be holding that even a Yad She'en Mechiyach works. My question is then, first of all, is that B'chlal, does a Yad work for Kedushin? But he's saying, even if you say that there could be a Yad for Kedushin, where do you see that there should be a Yad Mechiyach? In fact, the Ran points out that Rav Papa is pointing out a contradiction in Shmuel's opinion itself, because when it comes to a nazir, we learned earlier that that Shmuel will say that you need yadayim mechichas. For example, in the case of a nazir, we have at the beginning of Masechta Nazir, for example, it talks about if a person says ehei nove, I will be beautiful, then that makes him a nazir. So the question is, how is that? How is that a yad for nazirus? And the answer is Shmuel says because he's holding on to his hair at the time. So we understand it to mean that he means I'm going to be beautiful regarding my hair, namely I'm going to grow out my hair as a nazir. So therefore, we see that Shmuel requires yadayim mechichas. All of a sudden, you seem to be telling me over here not only that he holds of yadayim when it comes to kedushin, but that he holds of yadayim she'en mechichas. So he seems to be contradicting himself. So chodam migoy ma'id svidel of Shmuel. So the Ran understands the word migoy means from the very fact of what Shmuel holds is omalei la'abaya, is what he's pointing out to Abaya, that you seem to have a contradiction within what Shmuel said. But Rapapa himself doesn't have to hold Bechlal that Yadayim would work. He could be asking, maybe Yadayim work by Kedushin, maybe not. Shmuel is telling us that they do. Then the problem is, how is Shmuel saying Yadayim Chen Mechichas work over here when by Nazir he says you need Yadayim Mechichas? The Mefarish understands a little bit differently. He's just saying that the question is really an Imtim Tzaloibar. Does Shmuel Bechlal hold that there is a Yad for Kedushin? And if he does he require a Yadayim Mechichas? So he's asking one of the two possible questions that you could ask on Shmuel. Okay, so anyway, the point is that Rapapa himself does not necessarily have to hold that there is a Yad regarding Kedushin, which is why he asked the question whether there is or not.
What does he himself hold?
So he himself, we don't know. He's asking the question. He's asking the question, does a yad work for Kedushin or not? It's clear that Shmuel holds that there is a yad for Kedushin. And the question is, does Shmuel even allow the yad to work even when it's a yad she'ena mechiyach, where he says, hareat mekudeshes, which could just as well mean mekudesh to me and mekudesh to somebody else. But he obviously holds of yadus by Kedushin. Rav Papa is asking the question, b'chlal, is that so? Does yad even work by Kedushin? Here's another one. Boyra Papa. Yesh yad lapeya or ein yad lapeya. What about when it comes to declaring peya? So a person has a mitzvah, a farmer has a mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael to declare, to make one part of his field, one corner or one side of his field to be peya. Midaraisa, we say every day in davening, Eilud Vonim Shein Lam Shira peya. You can set aside one stalk and you'd be moitzi the whole thing with that. Midarabonin has to be at least 1/60. So now, is there a yad regarding declaring payah? Rav Papa is asking, or not? So the Gemara asks again, Hefi Dami, what is the scenario that we have, that we've asked about? Ilema de'omah hadein ugia lahevi payah v'hadein nami. Is it that he started by saying this particular ugia, and ugia means the Ran translates it as a ruga, a bed of a planting bed in a field. Usually, when you have a field, you don't always just have, so you may have, for example, if it's a field of grain, let's say, you have it's all one big field, and that's that. But if it's a field of vegetables or other such things, you usually plant those in smaller quantities. You have individual sections, individual beds that are called arugos in Hebrew and ugia in Aramaic. That in each one you would grow, you might grow different vegetables in each one. Okay, in that case, then each one needs its own paya anyway, but you might have, you're growing the same vegetables in all of them, but for convenience, you're putting them in separate beds. This way you can water them, this way you can water them more easily, this way you can take care of them more easily. In fact, the Ran and all the other Mephoshim over here point out that the word ugia, strictly speaking, means the ditch that you dig around it. You dig a ditch around that bed and fill it up with water, and that way the plants have where to get their water from. And if you need to irrigate them, you draw water from that and irrigate them. So because of that, the bed itself comes to be called an ugia as well. Anyway, so now suppose the person said this particular plot should be paya, and this one also. Well, what's the question? I pay a malyasi. There's no question. If he says this one also, then that's for sure. That's considered full-fledged payah. That's not considered a yad. And by the way, even though it is true that payah only has to be 1/60, the fact is you could declare more. You could declare more as payah. And the Ran asks, we have to be talking about, he says that the first one by itself was large enough to constitute payah on its own. So he has 60 such beds in his garden, and he declared one of them payah, and now that all by itself was enough to be payah, and now he says this one also. Because the Ran points out, if the first one was did not constitute 1/60th, you don't even need to get into the question of Yad. There's no question he's declaring as many as necessary in order to be payah, in order to be yotze the mitzvah. So we have to be talking about that the first one itself was already enough for payah, and now voluntarily he wants to give more. So now, but if he says this one is payah and this one also, for sure that's valid payah. So ki kama boil, the answer is ki kama boil. The answer is Rapapa's question is again, like we had before with Kedushin, kugunda omav ahodain veloy omen nam. If he says and this without specifying the word nam, so now similar to Kedushin, you can have the question, my. What does he mean to declare the second one? Now you could say that it means he wants to say the second one is payah, but he could also mean that he's saying this. Tosfos explains that he could be saying the second one. The Rosh also explains that it means that he's saying the second one is reserved for my family that we're going to eat that we'll eat these vegetables. To take care of my family. In other words, he doesn't have
same sentence, he's saying?
So he's saying this one is payah, and this one implying, and we fill in a sentence that he's saying that the Rosh, in fact, points out Demashmalay, and it seems that the implication seems to be Demayri Shalom Mishalay Oy Basada, he doesn't have anything else left in the field, since we have the suffix, the Dilma Hadain Lanaf Kusa Kama, so maybe he means this one for my expenses. So he means that he means it for I'm going to reserve this one for his expense, for my expenses, or to feed my family or whatever. So not necessarily is he declaring the second one payah. So that's the question. When he says v'hodin, is so now do we fill in a yad saying that it means and this one is payah, or do we say maybe not? Maybe he means this one is for myself and my family. So the Gemara asks. So v'loy omanami, he didn't say the word nam. So that's the question: is that considered a yad or not? And now again, why would we think that should work by payah? So the Ran says, even now you could argue again. The Papa started asking the question whether a yad works by kedushin. We could say maybe we learn by mamotzinu once it applies to nedarim and applies all over the place in halacha, or maybe we could say that not because maybe nedarim are special because you can declare them only verbally. Now payah. The Ran points out, when we talked before, and when we're going to talk at the top of the next Amud, about the din of Bal Ta'acher, the din that once you made a neder, you have to fulfill it as soon as possible. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah goes through, you have the Pasuk over there, Kisidur Neder L'Hashem Elokecha, and darshins it phrase by phrase, and one of the phrases in that Pasuk refers to payah. So therefore, now we have a stronger reason to say, just like when it comes to Bal Ta'acher, the Torah is telling you that Nedarim and Peah are the same, maybe the same thing we should say as far as Yad. So Kedushin, maybe not, because Kedushin are not referred to anywhere in that Pasuk. If we're going to learn them, it's going to be only with a Mamotzinu, or like Tosfos says, because you're changing the woman's status, you're making her also. But Peah, you have a stronger reason, maybe, to say that even if it doesn't apply to Kedushin, maybe it should apply to Peah. So the Gemara says, Miklal, Diki Oma Soda Kula, to have it Peah, have it Peah. Well, does that mean, since your papa is asking the question, and again, we're talking about the first one by itself was enough to be payah all by itself, and possibly then when he says v'hodein on the second one also makes it payah, does that mean that we would say that a person could even make his entire field payah if he wanted? Well, that's the question. On the face of it, payah means the side. So maybe it means the same way. Now, there are some of the things that a person has to give away where we say you can't declare the whole thing. For example, a person has a batch of dough. They can't validly declare the entire thing. They can't declare the entire thing challah. It has to be shireh nikorin. There has to be a recognizable piece left over that is not challah, because the Torah calls it reishis. And the same thing with a number of the other matnas kahuna and matnas aniyim and whatever. You can't give the whole thing away. You have to, the Torah is telling you, you can only up to a certain point. Well, since he's saying over here that you could conceivably declare one plot after another, one bed after another to be payah, so does that imply that a person could maybe even go so far as to make his whole field payah? And the answer is ein. As a matter of fact, yes. V'hotanya, and indeed we learn in a braisa, minayin sheim roitza lasis kosa deo peya oisa. How do we know that if a person wants to make his entire field peya, he could do that? Tamalama pa'as sadcha. The Torah says, the peya of your field. So the point is, in other words, the Ran says it could have said peya shevis sabcha, the peya of that is in your field, and that would make it clear that not the entire field is peya, only part of the area within it is peya. Tosfa says it could have said pas mi sabcha. So whatever the case, the point is that yes, a person could declare the entire thing peya. With that said, Tosfa says now that would only work. Only if he, Tosfos and the Rosh both point out, that would only work if he started harvesting the field. If before he ever started harvesting, he said this whole field was peah, that wouldn't work. But once he started harvesting, and even any amount of it, then the Torah is telling us, loisachala pas soncha, don't clear away the peah of your field. So then he can declare the rest of it peah, and he's not clearing any of the rest of it away, and he's leaving it for the ani. So in fact, they talk about that. That is why when we say in Eilu Dvarim, when we say Eilu Dvarim she'en lahem shir, apeya v'abikorim, etc., and ein lahem shir, the Gemara discusses. I think the Yerushalmi discusses it over there. I think the Bavli discusses it someplace. That it means that ein lahem shir lamata. There's no minimum shir for them. There's no minimum shir for them in Atorah, because again, in Atorah, all you need is one stalk of grain to be yotze truma or peya, but. But there is a shear lamilo, there is a maximum shear. So in that sense, then peah also has a maximum shear in that it can't really be the whole field. You have to have harvested at least one stalk of grain or one vegetable or whatever first.
So it can be 99%?
So it can be 99%, but it can be 99.9%, but not 100 yet. Actually, I should mention, as far as vegetables, actually, by the way, many vegetables are actually not chayav in peah. Anyhow, there are certain specific rules that it discusses in the Mishnayos and peah, what kinds of produce are chayav in peah. One of them has to be machnisya, the kiyum, but something that can be kept long term. So, for example, onions, let's say, would be chayav and peah, because you can store potatoes or whatever, because you could store those long term, but not necessarily, let's say, for example, string beans or something. Or tomatoes or whatever. Anyway, so now that we established that, yes, a person can make almost his entire field peah. So now, well, again, if he said on one plot within the field, he said this is peah and this, then he looks at another plot and says that this. And again, the question is, does the this mean this one is peah, or does it mean this one I'm reserving for my family? So miyam minan, kibin de itkash l'korbanus, so that's the question. Do we say, since there's a hekesh between peah and korbanus, in the matter of bal ta'achar, as we're going to discuss in a second, ma korbanus yesh lahem yad, af peah yesh la yad, and when it comes to korbanus, we said a yad works, as we talked about before, that you have harei ze olai is enough to constitute a declaration of a korban. Or maybe the hekesh is only as far as bal ta'acha, and maybe not as far as other dinim. Now, the Ran points out, further on, we're going to learn this tomorrow, Bas Hashem, the Gemara mentions a concept which comes up here and there in Shas called ein hekesh lemechza. There's no such thing as having a hekesh that tells us only half the dinim. Once you have a hekesh between one din and another, then we just bring over everything. So why wouldn't we say that over here? And the Ran answer is because the fact is it doesn't actually say the word peah in the pasuk. We have a phrase in the pasuk which we darsh in as referring to peah. So we can't call that really such a strong hekesh that we should be able to say ein hekesh lemetzah. Therefore, maybe the Torah is only comparing them as far as bal ta'achar, but maybe not as far as other things. Odoma ki itkash lebal ta'achar udi itkash. Maybe the hekesh is strictly only as far as bal ta'achar. Well, the hecha ikash. So where exactly is that hekesh that you're talking about? So Tanya, we learn in a braisa. The whole braisa is in the Sechta Rosh Hashanah. You have a long sugya over there about the dinim of Bal Ta'achar. And it says the darshan's phrase by phrase. You have a pasuk over there, kisidu nedu v'ashem alakecha loisa acha l'shalma, kidorish yidushenu v'ashem alakecha me'imach v'hoya b'chochet. So the Gemara Darshan's phrase by phrase, Kisidu Neder means Ndonim and Adagas, Mashem Alekecha means various kinds of Hektish, et cetera, and it goes through over there. And eventually it says, Me'imach, when it says Hashem will demand it from you, Zel Leket Shikho Peah, that refers to Leket Shikho Peah, that if you declared Peah, or if you dropped grain, which becomes Leket, or you forgot it, it becomes Shikha, then you have a responsibility to give it to the Aniyim within a certain amount of time, and you're not, then you're over on Bal Ta'achar. So we see, therefore, that Bal Ta'achar includes both korbanos, because at the beginning of the pasuk, Kisidu Neder L'Hashem Alekecha, is talking about korbanos, and Dorish Yudreshenu. Also, we learned a couple of blocks ago, refers to Chatois and Hashamos. And now, me'imach refers to leket shikho peya, so you have a hekesh between kobonus and peya, so maybe therefore the concept of yad would apply to both of them, or maybe not. How do we learn leket shikho and peya from me'imach? So the Rosh explains, and it actually mentions it in the Gemara there in Rosh Hashanah, because since the Pasuk says, es ha'oni imach, elsewhere you have the expression in the Pasuk, the poor person who is with you, that you have to give him if you lend him money, kesef talves ami is on imach. Therefore, the word imach we can darshin as referring to things that go to the poor people, namely like at shikha and peya. So that's it. So we have the question open whether yad works for peya or not. In the end, with all of these things, the halacha ends up being that yes, yad does work with them. So yad can be used for kedushin, it can be used for peya, and so on and so forth.
That means if someone says that, he's going to be equipped to himself.
So, for example, if he looks at one plot in his field and says this is peya, and then another one, and he says and this, then at the very least you have a suffix whether that's peya, and therefore the result is that he has to give it away.
Can't ask him what he had in mind. It doesn't work that way.
Maybe you could ask him what he had in mind, but. The question would be, is what he's saying that he had in mind, is that the same as what he had in mind originally? It may not work in that sense. But here.
And the Kedushin said that.
Kedushin also requires Das, of course. So he says, if he uses the expression, Hareat Mekudeshes Va'at, then at the very least, you have a suffix Kedushin. So let's actually take a quick look and see. So, for example, in the case of Kedushin, he says Mekudesh is misafik, because for that matter, the Va'at if he says Va'at Nami or something like that, then Shtein Mekudeshes. Actually, he says another case that Amma mentions based on a case in Kedushin, you could even have where he says to the first, if he says to the second woman, Va'at, Rather, the Rambam discusses the case. Suppose that instead he gives the money of Kedushin to Leah. He didn't give it to Rachel at all, and he gives it to Leah and says Va'at. Then it's only a Kedushin misafik, because then he might be saying, what do you say about this? When we said before in the Gemara, Va'at Chazi, that's what it is. He's saying Va'at Chazi. It's not so much he's saying I want you to wash this. He's saying, what do you think of what I just did? So it's only Kedushin misafik.
But send you the money to the second one.
So here the expression is the phrasing in the Rambam is that if he just says the pashtus, it means that he gave the first one. Right. So he gave the first one, like we were saying before, and then when he says to the second one, va'at, he doesn't necessarily mean you. I want to be Makadish as well. He may mean what do you think about this. Similarly when it comes to peya. So here.
What would you ask? What you think about it? If he gave her a shavu prota and he said that
he said the first one he gave a shavu prota. So now he's asking for the second one. What do you think? What do you think? Do you want to be Niskadish as well? Do you approve of what I just did, etc.? Yeah. So not necessarily would the second one be Mekodesh. It would only be Kedushin Misafik, and therefore she'd either need a proper Kedushin or she'd need a get Misafik. Similarly, when it comes to Peya. So if he says Hare Zu Peya and also this, or he says Hare Zu Peya Vizu, then both of them are Peya. Again, the pashtus on the grounds that it might be a suffix, and suffix matnas aniyim, you have to give to the aniyim. So therefore that would work. And we'll continue tomorrow in the Gemara Bez Hashem. We'll continue discussing also the matter of Yad as far as tzedakah, and as far as a Beis HaKiseh. As far as if you declare one place to be a Beis HaKiseh and then you declare another one, does that second one have the dinim of a Beis HaKiseh that you can't daven or learn in it? So we'll continue with that discussion tomorrow. Even if it was, so we'll discuss that point tomorrow, Beis Hashem. Yeah.
So there's two questions so far we have over here, right? One for Kedushin and one
for... So far we have one for Kedushin and one for Peah, right? And tomorrow we're going to deal with two other ones, Tzedakah and Beis HaKiseh. After that, then we'll be getting back to topics of Nedarim, of Nedarim proper. Yeah.
How come they have the run over here instead of the Tosfos?
So what it is actually, we talked about this at the beginning of the Masechta, the Pirush that we have printed as Rashi, it's very ironic because it actually says Rashi at the top of it, which it doesn't in most of Shas, but that Pirush, it seems, is not actually from Rashi. A number of Achronim point that out explicitly. You have, for example, the Beis Yosef at one point refers to something that Rashi says, and he says on it a very sharp expression, "Loi chosh lekimchei," that he wasn't careful to make sure that what he's writing is correct. Up Yalacha, he would never say that about Rashi. So it's mashma that it was somebody else who wrote it. Maybe a student, maybe whatever. Even though it's printed under the name Rashi, it's not Rashi itself. It's because some people say maybe bits and pieces of it are from Rashi, but in any case, the majority of it is not. It's not the original Rashi. They often call it the Mefarish, and therefore the Ran ends up being the most important Mefarish. That when people learn Masechet Nedarim, that is what we use as the primary Mefarish.
Okay, and yeah. I saw you use.
So we use also the Rosh, and we use also Tosfos, right?
So you pretty much use the Rosh over Tosfos primarily.
So it's not really primarily, but I mean there is Tosfos over here, but the Ran and the Rosh are like more the running commentaries that are used more instead of Rashi, and then Tosfos is Tosfos. They do more deeper analysis as usual with Tosfos.
Okay, and is there any other Gemaras that are like that with the Ran?
We're going to have actually the next Masecht after this one. Nazir is similar in that regard. In Nazir, again, what's printed as Rashi is not really from Rashi. There, the primary Pirush is the Rosh's Pirush.
Okay. So we'll get to that. The Rosh is going.
So there, the Rosh will be on the side over there. Yeah.
Here Tosfos is also on the side,
right? Because there was no room. I mean, once you have the Ran, in fact, in the older prints of the Gemara, in the first print of Masechet Nedarim in the 1500s, they actually had both Ran and the Rosh, one below the other. They didn't have the Rosh in the margin like we have it over here. They actually had the Ran on the top and then the Rosh printed underneath it, which is why so many of the Blat and the Nedarim are so short. Because once you have, you need room for the Mefarish and for Ran and for the Rosh. There wasn't enough room to put in a lot of text of Gemara on the page. So even though in later editions they moved the Rosh to the margin over here, they still kept the same page numbering as usual.
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.